Today's Leading Women, episode 654, with the wonderful Candace Olsen.
Women all over the world, get ready for inspiring and empowering interviews from women at the top of their field who are kicking butt in their business and who are prepared to share shocking revelations from being in the limelight. You are now listening to Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.
Podcast your passion. Yes. Did you know you can podcast your passion, make a difference, and make money talking about what you love talking about? That's how I get to do what I'm doing, talking to wonderful women every day here at Today's Leading Women. Want to learn how I did? Go to podcastyourpassion.com. That's www.podcastyourpassion.com. Yes, women of the world, let's get started. I am delighted to introduce you our amazing guest for today, Candace Carpenter Olsen. Candace Carpenter Olsen is co-CEO and founder of the Fulbridge Program, committed to enabling college students all over the world to find a meaningful career direction, to make a contribution from day one, and excel throughout their careers. As founder and CEO of iVillage.com, she became one of the first women to lead an IPO in the United States. She's held executive positions at American Express and Time Warner and been an advisor at AOL. She is an Emmy Award winner and a recipient of the MIT Award for Entrepreneurship. To learn more, visit www.fullbridge.com. Again, that's www.fullbridge.com. Women of the World, Miss Candace Carpenter Olsen. Welcome to the show.
Okay, thank you so much. Happy to be here.
I am delighted to have you on the show, and I'm sure our listeners are as well. So, Candace, I really love what you're doing with your business, especially with Fulbridge Program. Love that name as well. You are a success in your own right. You put in the effort, you know, the sweat equity, the knowledge and experience to build a special business you call your own. As a result of that, our listeners really want to get to know you, and I want to provide that conduit, you know, that bridge between you and our listeners. So here are some cool questions that we can talk about. Feel free to comment at any time about them, but these are just general questions I have in mind. So let's start with your business. You know, there might be people out there who want to start one and have no clue how to go about it. Can you tell us more about your business and the idea behind that niche?
Yes, I mean, most of my businesses have started. This is my third company. Most of mine have started with both an idea and then a lot of research. And I think that combination is very powerful. So we had the idea of our business from our seven children. We have seven children, all in the age where they're finishing school and entering the workforce at different stages between 20 and 35. And so we were very aware that that had become a lot harder than it used to be when we were graduating, that kids needed more training, more sense of business, more understanding of the skills they would need, just how to navigate a much more complicated workplace. The research was we spent a whole summer doing research and saw that around the world this is a problem everywhere, that companies are not very happy with the skills of young graduates. We also saw that women returning to work need skills, you know, they need to upgrade their skills, update their skills, and they need their confidence restored just to know that they do have so much to offer in the workplace. So we could see that there were various points where what was being offered were these long, expensive degree programs like MBAs, but they really weren't what was needed, and they were really too costly for people. Even the top students, we felt it was not a good use of their time and money. At the time, my husband was teaching for Harvard Business School, so I think he was in a very good position to judge this. He felt the two-year commitment and the amount of money those kids were spending was really not justified by what they were learning at the school. So I think it was a combination, always to me, it's a combination of inspiration, personal experience, and a lot of research that is, to me, the best way to start a company.
So it started with an idea. It was a combination of inspiration and doing research. And you found out that your kids were needing more training, and then you found out there was a need. There was actually a lack. There was actually a need for more programs to supplement or complement those that kids are learning from school, for example, as they progress from their learning from being on grade, for example, until they get to their career or like that. So great, that what a great program you have out there. But what continues to inspire you doing this business?
Are you saying what inspired me to do it? I think I've kind of answered that in the sense that it was looking at the struggle my children were having, that after going to very good schools, and it was looking at around the world that, you know, you see facts like in Saudi Arabia, 95% of all women are unemployed. We've now trained over 10,000 women in the last year in Saudi Arabia through this business to enter the workforce. You know, I think around the world you see young people really being deprived of a great working future by the lack of good training that is affordable and of a very high quality. So, I mean, I was very inspired by that. I also really had a dream to go into all the countries where we have drones killing people and actually help their young people have a better future.
Yes, helping those people, especially for those who are deprived of education in other countries or other cultures, for example. Yeah, absolutely. It's not just home-based, but you are now providing this training available for other people in other countries, for example, that are deprived of this education. Thanks for sharing those. Now, let's talk about the qualities that you acquired being a successful entrepreneur that our listeners can learn from. Can you share those top three qualities or traits that help you become a successful entrepreneur that our listeners can learn from?
Yes, I think one needs to be basically an extremely positive person, at the same time seeing clearly the threats around you. So it's kind of a knife edge of seeing everything that's really happening, not being in denial, not buying your own press too much, seeing that there are a lot of challenges and a lot of threats to any company being built. And at the same time, being able to wake up every day and come at it with a very upbeat, glasses half full attitude. It's that balance that I think makes a really mature entrepreneur. I think another trait, of course, is persistence. You get knocked down so many times as an entrepreneur, and you have to get up again. And you have to dust yourself off, but also take that extra step of asking, is there something the universe is telling me right now that I could be doing better or differently so I won't get knocked down the next time? Or is it just a matter of time? You know, you have to be very discerning and not just rah-rah, but very thoughtful about the failures that you have when you're building a company and what you can learn from them, how you can correct course, how you can keep yourself quite lean while you're doing that. And then the last thing I would say is just really being obsessed with making every customer you have so happy and so loyal to you. You never treat any customers as unimportant.
All right, so that's positive attitude, persistence, and making your customers happy or delivering great customer service. Yeah. Great qualities here that Candice just shared with us. And the good thing is that we can all cultivate and adopt them into our lives. All right, let's talk about what happened when you started your journey as an entrepreneur. You know, as entrepreneurs, we face daily challenges that define our being. And to get through those challenges, it takes a very special person, and our audience wants to know that special person in you. So, what have been your biggest challenges building your business, and how have you addressed or overcame those barriers to success that a lot of women entrepreneurs face today?
Well, I would say that for me, I had a family. I had a daughter when I started iVillage. I was a single parent. And so from the very beginning, balancing everything was very, very challenging. I don't really think balance per se on a daily basis is very possible. And I think a lot of people drive themselves crazy trying to get it. But I think for me, I had to decide, you know, what are the two most important things in my life? And I decided it was my daughter and my company in that order. And every day I tried to be clear about that. It wasn't going out. It wasn't seeing my friends. It wasn't parties. Sometimes wasn't even being in perfect shape, although I'm really a dedicated athlete. I had to realize that at certain times of intensity, something was going to give, and that if I tried to keep myself on a path of everything first every day, that I would not be able to succeed at any of it. So I just really tried to think, you know, what are the two things I really care about at this moment in time? And those were the two. And, you know, look, I got a fair amount of exercise. I ate reasonably well. I didn't have a number of friends. But I always was clear what came first. And as a result, I have an absolutely fabulous daughter who grew up during that time. is now 21 and an entrepreneur herself. But I know she, no matter how busy I was, I actually had her sleep with me for the first 4 years of her life, because that was at least a lot of time that I could spend physically close to her. And I think that made a big difference, you know, just that she knew that she was very, very important to me, even when I was extremely busy. I also always came home for dinner. And the way I did that, I found a student chef who was studying to be a chef. And I basically, what is that noise? Are you hearing that noise? Are you hearing that interference?
Yes, I'm hearing some echo. Don't worry, I'll be able to edit this.
Okay, good.
So that's good.
Yeah, the other thing is I felt it was so important. All the research says critical to be home by dinner time. So I basically hired a student chef to cook 4 nights a week. And I would come skidding in at 5 of 6 and have dinner with my kids every night. And then I would go back to work after they were in bed. And that was one of the best things I really did. I think that that gave our family such a really solid feeling. And I was the only parent, so really it was me or nobody with my kid. I mean, you know, if I really needed to be there. And I was. I was there every single day with very rare exceptions. So I don't know. I think that's it. Just realizing you can't have 5 most important things in your life while you're building a company. You have to have 1 or 2. That's it. And then you can probably honor both of those. I mean, to me, that's the most important thing. I also think just practicing the golden rule every second of your day. I mean, it's very tough to build a company. It's tough on everybody. It's, you know, there are a lot of opportunities in business to, you know, be short with people or, you know, blame other people. None of that really works karmically in the long run. You really have to go into it and be the best human being you can be every single day of your life, I think, if you want the best outcome.
Sorry about that. This is some echo coming in. Is it possible? Do you hear any echo on your side?
No, I'm not hearing the echo on
my side. Is it possible to lower a little bit of the volume on your side and see if that would help?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Is that any better?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So I'll be able to edit this anyway, taking out the things that we don't want to be there, get there. So I will just summarize what you said, and then we'll go to the next one. Yes, you really drove home what's important there in what you said, because work-life balance is really a challenge for a lot of us, and I'm sure for most of us, especially for us who are working from home with family, we're juggling many roles, we wear many hats, but it is a fact of life. But it's really important to decide on what's important to you, what's important in your life, and like what Candice just shared with us, don't make too many of those priorities at 2 or 3 topmost, because the reality is we won't be able to focus on a lot of things at the same time. So really important to drive that home with you, to really prioritize what's really important to you. And of course, not to neglect yourself. Get a fair amount of exercise, eat healthy, sleep. Those are the foundations of our health, because I believe that without our health, we won't be able to build this business that we're passionate about. So really important to find and incorporate those activities that really can help us stay fit and try, because there's no such thing as balance. And I believe that too. I mean, integrate your life, your work and your life, and do as much as you can in not ignoring all the other areas that are important to you. I think that's the basic premise here. All right, let's talk about success and what success means to you. Your business appears to be financially doing quite well, and with that success flows into other areas in the entrepreneur's life. So in your journey as an entrepreneur, what does success mean to you, and what are some of the benchmarks that you use to measure your success?
Well, obviously for me, making a really healthy return for my investors is, you know, I feel that a moral obligation that I have. So I'm very driven by that, probably more than by personal wealth. Because to build the things I want to build, I raise money, I raise quite a bit of money. You know, I'm always feeling a big responsibility to make sure that my investors do very, very well in this investment, because they've had faith in me and usually gone through ups and downs with me building it. So that's number one. Number two, I think I do measure it by quality of the services that we deliver. You know, in the case of iVillage, it was how much I was really able to help women with the web community we built, how much it helped them with real problems and real challenges. And with Full Bridges, how much impact we really have on these young people and opening up their futures. So I'm the kind of entrepreneur, I'm not as focused. I mean, I've done fine financially, but my focus is usually more on the work and on the people that have invested in me, to whom I owe a great, you know, a good return and really a large personal debt.
Yes, as I mean, at the end of the day, it really is about the impact. It's about the service that we're providing out there. It's about the difference that we make for the people that we are directly and indirectly affect because of what we do. It's a great perspective there. Now, I know you've given us a lot of tips already, but I'd love for us to talk about one of the highlights of our show, and that's your advice for other entrepreneurs and those aspiring to be, especially to those who want to follow your footsteps. What types of suggestions or advice and lessons that you learn would you give your fellow entrepreneurs, knowing where you came from and where you headed at? And if you can boil them down to your top three tips or advice, what would those three be?
I mean, I think it's important to only start a company that you have a lot of excitement about. Whenever I see people start companies just to make money, I don't think they're usually very successful. At the same time, I think you have to get some help from smart people vetting your idea. So again, it's this combination of something you love, but something that, you know, really has a chance to do well financially for you and whoever else you're doing it for. So, you know, not falling in love with your very first idea, but putting yourself through some discipline to hone it and make sure that it's the right thing. The next thing is, I personally think it makes the most sense to start a company with some financial foundation. I know that sometimes kids out of college start companies and do very well, but because only about 1 in 10 companies succeeds, I think it is helpful to have some savings before starting a company of any kind if possible. Now, sometimes people start companies because they have no other option, and I think sometimes that is the right thing to do. But if you have a choice, I would say save money for a couple years, be very frugal, and then start a company with a little extra cash in your bank account, just so you can feel a little safer at night and not be so worried. And the third thing I would say probably is be very careful about your choice of a team. You need a team to start a company. Almost every successful company today is built by at least two founders, if not more. But be very, very careful. Get to know the person you're going to do this with. Do reference checks on them, even if you've known them a while. Understand how they behaved in other situations, because this is like marrying somebody. Your reputation, your wealth, your future success will all be tied to that person in a very significant way. If you don't have a founder, you'll have to pay people more, and you will suffer the normal comings and goings of people in the workplace today. So there are a lot of advantages of a founder, but it has to be very carefully and thoughtfully chosen, not someone to be just like you, but to be someone with a very different skill. So if you're good at selling, maybe someone's good at the technology, or you're good at selling, they're good at the finance. If you're very creative, they're the person who's going to, you know, count all the beans and make sure that everything's going in a very rational way. I just think you need to find not quite your opposite, but somebody who brings something very different to the table. So those would be my three pieces of advice for someone starting something.
Golden nuggets in those tips that you shared with us. So let me just summarize them again for our listeners. The first one is to start a company or an idea that you are excited about. It's really important, especially for our listeners out there who are just starting out. Second one is to be financially prepared. I know this is huge, especially for people who are thinking of going to business. It's really important to have that financial cushion. And if you have to stay on a job and build a business on the side, that's totally okay. I did that myself too. This third one is to be careful with hiring a team. And I love what Candice just shared with us about hiring people with complementary skills that will really complement your skills, because that is what makes a great team. If you could, and Candice gave us a great example about that. Some great tips here that she shared with us. Let's take action on them today, and I'll make sure to have them on our show notes. Last but not least, Candice, share our listeners the one woman out there that you admire the most and why.
You know, this is not my favorite question. I don't really think about the world this way exactly. I mean, I can think of one person, but you know, I don't think of the world in terms of women in this way. I think of just people. But if I do happen to have somebody, there's somebody who worked with me for 8 years. Her name is Allie Ellman. She worked with me. She came to me straight out of college. Very smart and beautiful, but, you know, she would show up 15 minutes late with a Starbucks cup in her hand. She wasn't very trained. She hadn't learned that you have to really work hard and be on time. I told her one day, you know, if you don't want this opportunity, there's 50 women trying to move to New York and make it here who would be happy to take your job. She stayed with me for 8 years and progressed to the point that she managed properties. She did, she bought and sold properties. She basically, oh my God, she managed, it was like a business, basically. My husband was CEO of Random House. She managed his business. She really became very, very gifted at organizing. And now she started, 3 years ago, she started her own company. She started a little coffee house in Denver. She moved to a very, very simple house, very cheap, so she could save money. She had been living in Aspen, living high life. She moved to a very cheap house. She put all of her money into building out this little coffee house. And within 6 months, it was on the top 25 list from Travel and Leisure as the best coffee shops in the country. She has leveraged that now into a little empire of, you know, she's building restaurants, coffee shops, non-toxic organic nail salons. She's going to own, you know, a very large hospitality business sooner rather than later. And she exemplifies really all of the traits that I find so admirable in an entrepreneur. The fact that she did save money, she sacrificed personally so that she could put money into the business. She now has 100 employees. She's learned to be a boss. At the same time, she has a young daughter who's about a year old, and she's really found a way to carve out time for her daughter. She's really busy and tired. So like all, you know, all entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs are always busy and tired. But I think she's found a way the best she can. You know, she doesn't feel balanced, but I watch her and think she's done a great job of not only building her company through grit and integrity, but also, you know, making sure that her daughter gets the time and love that she needs. So I would say that Allie is the female entrepreneur that I most admire.
Wow, what an inspiring story Allie has. And to Allie for being an inspiration to you, but to all of us here at Today's Leading Women, we salute you. Lastly, Candice, share our listeners what's one big benefit that they can get with your product or your service, where they can get it, and what's the best way that our listeners can connect with you, and then we'll end from there.
Could you just repeat that question? I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand the question.
All right, so share our listeners what's one big benefit that they can get with your product or your service, where they can get it, and what's the best way that our listeners can connect with you?
Sure. I would say the best way is to, if our listeners have kids who are in, I would say, high school and college, all the way through college graduation, at any level of college, and they're worried about them being really ready for the workforce, I think they should go on Fulbridge.com and read about the company and see if they could enroll their student in one of our programs. It has really miraculous results. They won't recognize their kid when they get them when they come home. They will be a young adult ready for the workplace, and they will never need to live on their couch.
Wow, so that again is www.fullbridge.com. I highly encourage you, our listeners, to go there now, especially for you, our listeners, with kids who are in high school through college. Take advantage of this program that Candice and her company is providing, that helping your kids become young adults ready for the workplace. What would be a better gift for your kids to help them be ready, prepared to go out there and be in their workplace and be ready for what it is that you want to tackle into their life? So go there now at www.fullbridge.com. Again, that's www.fullbridge.com.
Great, thank you. I want to share just one last thing. There's an app that is my favorite app that's called Mind and Body. And the reason I love it is for women who travel on business. Yeah, when you get this app, it shows you in wherever you are. It shows you for spinning, for yoga, for all kinds of exercise, for gym, for Pilates. It shows you with, you know, in terms of distance from your hotel or from wherever you are in any city, all the places where you can find that. And I use this I travel almost, I'm usually on 2 to 3 planes a week, so I'm traveling constantly. And wherever I go, I can find yoga within half a mile. I can sign up for the class before I even get to the city. And this helps me so much to stay centered. So I just want to give a shout out to the people who started this app. I'm guessing it may have been women. I don't know. But it's called Mind and Body. And for all working women, it's really a tremendous asset.
What a great resource. Yes, I'm definitely going to be checking that one out. It's Mind and Body app for our yoga enthusiasts, yeah. For our moms out there. Really
yoga important. And spinning and all other kinds of exercise. It's really brilliant. It's brilliant for anyone who's traveling.
Oh, there you go. Especially if you are traveling or on the go a lot, what a great app that is just available at your fingertips. Yes. So I'll make sure to have this on our show notes, Mind and Body app, as well as the recommended book by Candice, which is the Sapien book. I'll have that on the show notes as well. So all of these resources and the links, I'll be putting them on the show notes as well. So thank you so much, Candice. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your inspiring story, your expertise, for being a role model to us here at Today's Young Women, and for bringing such a positive energy with our listeners today. Women of the World.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. We appreciate you and wish you more success in your business and in your life.
Thank you. Bye.
Thinking of starting a podcast? Seriously consider starting a podcast of your own, remembering that it will allow you to grow in ways you never imagined. It will grow your email list, your audience, your influence, and your bank account. Go to podcastprofitsystem.com to get started. That's www.podcastprofitsystem.com.
Feeling inspired and empowered to make it happen? Then take the next step and go get your free guide to the top 10 resources that today's leading women use to stay at the top of their game, plus Marie's favorite today. Visit todaysleadingwomen.com/guide for your free download, and we'll see you on the next episode of Today's Leading Women with Marie Grace Berg.